Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the I'm Not Kevin podcast with your host, Sean Holsworth.
That Joey cold start, that was kind of
Pickle
nice.
Rick. With the power of the pause button, we are back and we are up in Tehachapi, local craft beer with Tyson.
Hello.
I've got the I'm Not Kevin Sean.
What's up?
You got
the I'm Not Kevin Sean.
On tap Bakersfield.
I think it's complicated.
That's me.
Joy.
Hi.
Pancho the Mex. Uncle Hola. Frank.
¿Cómo están?
Bien y tú, gracias. We got Tyler's over on deck. We got Ken streaming live for us on Instagram. So, first of all, let's just go with the happy anniversary, 19th anniversary to you and Katie. Awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Happy 2-year anniversary. To your birthday.
Yeah, it's a birthday, I guess.
Yep.
Or an anniversary. I think we're calling it an anniversary, aren't we?
Yep. So, you, big blowout celebrating my birthday, OCB's birthday, our anniversary. So I appreciate you putting on the party for me.
Hey, no problem.
That's very nice.
It's going to be bigger than the blowout you got in your pants last time. Oh,
that's a blowout.
Let's get it started early.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Take it.
And go.
Yep. All right. So
what are we drinking?
What are we drinking? What is this?
So this is our newly installed nitrogenated tap, and it's the Nitro Coffee Stout. It's a little lower gravity than our other coffee stout that's 9.5%. This one clocks in at 7.4%. But it is the same recipe. We just don't build up the grain so much.
We still have blue oak in there?
What's going on? Yes.
You're really loud.
Yeah,
so,
I hear it.
Can I ask a stupid question? Do you have to have a nitro system here?
Yes.
So it would be similar to like your CO2, but you just have to have a...
Yeah, so basically you cut into your CO2 system and you said, well, there's many ways of doing it. The way we did it here specifically was we got a tank of food grade nitrogen. Actually, I think it's medical grade nitrogen, whatever it is. And you tee that into a blender and then you tee off of your carbon dioxide line. You put that into a blender. It mixes it for you at a pre-mix level and shoots it right into your kegs for you. Hmm. So you carbonate the beer just a little bit in the fermenter, just a scooch. One unit of carbonation.
That's a scooch.
And yeah.
Is it unit?
If you want to get technical, it's a scooch. And then you just hook it up to your nitrogen, which is pushing at a much higher PSI through the blender. And that's it.
So it's not like you just dump nitrogen there, seal up the keg, and you're done. This is constantly feeding?
It's constantly feeding, which is why on the big kegs, on a small keg, I usually shake the shit out of it like it's a homebrew keg for like 30 seconds, and it pours beautifully, perfectly right off the first pour. When we hook up to a half-barrel keg, it usually takes a couple days before it really gets that awesome, huge cascading effect. You could see it, but this is a pretty dope, not right now. These have been sitting here. But when you first pour them, it's just the beer is so thick and viscous. Like sometimes you have to shine a light on it. You're like, oh shit, it is totally cascading in there. But the beer is so dark.
It's very different. Sean, this looks a lot like your stout I had yesterday at your house.
It's just, I mean, no. No light shines through that.
That's the color of your stout, Sean? Wow.
Wasn't it?
Genetics. Genetics.
Yeah.
So, no, it was just dark in the room.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's good. Very good. So, what's in there?
Lots of blue oak coffee. The rest of it, hell if I remember. Turo, chocolate malt, midnight wheat, maybe some crystal malts, maybe. Chinook.
Maybe.
Lots of Chinook. I love Chinook hops. I think they're seriously underused.
That's my favorite. I love Chinook.
Yeah, they're really good, man. I don't know why people don't. They throw like a real peach apricot thing that I don't think people understand. That's like they think it's like some old useless hop, and it's not.
Usually, that's what I'm usually going for when I use Chinook is to get that peachy kind of flavor.
Like a stone fruit.
Mix it with a little Amarillo.
Undertone.
I mean, this literally goes like people generalize stone fruit, I think, a lot when you're getting like these flavors that you can't naturally identify and be like, that is a peach or that is a whatever. It's like, think of what stone fruits are. Are there anything that has a stone inside of it, right? So, I mean, that covers hundreds and hundreds of different fruits. Like Chinook definitely is peach, apricot, straight up.
Nice.
Especially when mixed with a nice little helper like Amarillo. But as far as like the generalized stone fruit, that's like what this all haze on me is. So it has 5 different hops in it. I don't know what the hell it tastes like. Mango, guava.
It's a fruit.
It's fruit. Fish.
It's some kind of fruit.
Some sort of stone fruit.
So what's the ABV on this?
That one is 7.4.
Perfect.
Yep.
That's
right
nice.
There.
It is
yeah,
nice.
Thank you. Tastes just like yours, Sean.
I copied him.
That's right.
It's actually, smooth, but it has a good bitter to it.
Like
we were missing 5 gallons out of the fermenter, so
oh, there it is.
Snuck in here with one of his homebrew kegs.
Yeah.
Just filled it right out of the sample port.
That's right.
It's nice that you let him do that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. He had no idea.
For a small fee.
Yeah.
Anybody could do that, I guess. You want to pay for it.
Yeah.
Did you guys pregame it at all? We're starting slow again.
No pregame it at all. Man, why is my mic so loud?
I don't know.
It's not your mic.
Single joke.
Mine sounds really quiet though. I gotta lean into this.
1, 2, 3.
With the power of the pause button.
Hey ladies.
Oh, look at him. Look at him go. Like he's professional.
Test.
Mix
test.
It up.
Oh, there we go.
That's better.
That's better.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Thank you for your patience, folks. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Right on schedule.
Yep. Yep. All right, man. So what's going on tonight? What's the celebration? What do we got as far as the lineup?
It is definitely a celebration, bitches. We are going to have DJ coming up here shortly. He's going to be spinning some tunes, as the kids say, I believe.
Wicca.
So fancy.
He'll be That's scratching so and on the ones and twos.
Right?
So we'll also have our local vegan vendor serving food here from 2 to 6. So he'll be feeding me.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to have too.
The hog that has been raised on our beer grains has been slaughtered and is currently smoking. That'll be ready at 5. That hot pink trailer out back, that's for Victoria's Bake Shop. She's doing desserts. Those will be ready at 5. Whiskey Galore, the men, the myths, the legends.
That's a fun band. If you haven't seen them,
awesome.
There's only two bands that I like literally say, if you haven't seen these bands live in action, you should reevaluate your life. And that is the Foo Fighters.
Right.
And Whiskey Galore. Yeah. They're the type of bands that invoke an emotional response. People that don't dance, dance. People that don't cry, cry. You know, this shit is amazing.
They did
to see.
The St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah. Right? St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. We're expecting this to be a similar debacle to St. Patrick's Day.
That was a lot of fun.
Oh, Nuts to Butts, which Frank doesn't mind.
No, not at all.
After a few drinks, everything's open. Frank's pulling a train again.
He's dancing, folks.
What drunk Poncho doesn't remember doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't count.
Not my problem.
If drunk Poncho doesn't remember it, it never happened.
What happens in Tehachapi?
No need to recap in the morning.
All you're in the background.
He's like, I don't wake up with the horrors. It's fine.
I'll check my pictures later.
Richie's not the only one with a worn out butthole.
Except mine doesn't need surgery.
Is Richie no longer a part of the podcast?
He's on his way up. So he's going to show up a little late. Probably won't hang out long, but he wanted to show up. Say hi. So Nick's big thing, man. Let's talk about your new employee.
Ah, so he's supposed to be here, but... Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Wow. Speak of the devil.
All right. So, hey. So we actually, a little known fact here is that we've been looking for a brewer since before Katie came into the back room to help me out. The original idea was to find somebody that could maybe split shifts with me, so on and so forth. But then when Katie decided that, you know, she was best put to use right there next to me, that was just like a dream come true. So we were really cool to ride with that for quite a while, like, you know, about a year-ish, maybe just short of a year. And she really helped me out back there. And I was able to do everything I was able to do before, but just without the pain and suffering of being trapped in the back by myself while my family was out here and I couldn't even talk to them or see them. And so we did interview quite a few brewers. And the goal was to find somebody who had enough respect for me to know that they're going to need to brew what I tell them to brew, the way I tell them to brew, but also had enough respect for themselves that they know that they could pull it off.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and we had one guy that was willing. He was an ex-brewer for a brewery down in the Antelope Valley, one of the four breweries there. I won't name names. But he was totally ready and willing. But at the very end, he kind of said, you know, I don't want to make that drive. And just right there alone, you know, it's just not going to work out. You're not going to try to be like, look, you know, maybe you could give it a try. But it's like, right. All right, just forget it. Whatever.
No commitment.
Cool.
The
yeah.
The headaches are coming, you know.
Yeah. If you have any kind of reservation of commitment, it's like, well, then just forget it. I'll just keep doing what I do. And then Mike came along and was willing to step up to the plate and get the whole damn thing done, which he has been doing now for a couple of weeks. Nice. And you're drinking a batch that he brewed when I wasn't even in the brewery right now. Nice. So there you go.
Mike,
so
it works. Good stuff. Welcome to the team.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for coming on board, man. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, thanks.
I think you and I have met, and it was either at the Central Valley Festival up in Turlock or it was the country one in Bakersfield. But I think you and I have met.
Were you at either of those?
Yes. I don't think I was at
either. He wasn't at either. So
see, again, we all don't look the same, Kenny.
Wow, deep, deep.
This is IPA today, so this kind of stuff.
That's this is the most racist radio show. You'll ever be on.
That was my best pickup line. Didn't
no, no, hey, I think we've met.
I think, awkward.
Never
so anyways,
mind.
Welcome to the podcast, man.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here. A little bit late, but
that's okay. That's okay. We saved your seat.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's mainly just dick jokes, anyways.
Yeah,
so.
yeah.
How are you liking to Atropine?
I actually dig it. It's a lot quieter and cleaner than being in Fresno.
Imagine
I like the cleaner air, being able to see the stars at night. Yeah. Is really
and not seeing the air.
Really amazing.
Wait, there's stars at night?
Wait, wait, stars?
What are these stars?
What are these things you speak of?
What are these? I've seen them in a book once.
That's fake news.
Yeah, my fiance used to live out in rural areas, so she's looking forward to getting out of the big city too. So
cool. Nice. Very cool.
Troy's like, I live in a very flat area with a layer of cow farts above me.
It's all smog and so animal byproducts.
The first time we ever came up here, just me, you, Richie, and Joey, we were talking about your equipment, and you basically made the statement.
Back to the dick jokes.
I have no money. And then the last time I was here, we were talking about the boom with all the bottle sales, and you explained that, you know, the bottles, they turn a little bit better profit than kegs. And but yet we still don't have money. But now you've got a high dollar, one of the highest paid brewers in the Central Valley.
That's right.
So the question is,
has that been confirmed?
His bonus program is making the Google CEOs really jealous.
Nice.
So the question is, are you killing it now? Are you making some serious money?
Serious money would be a serious overstatement. But we're definitely, so here we are 2 years in. Katie and I still don't take a paycheck. I think I mentioned before, we have like a 5-year before I burn this place down for insurance money program. So we're on year two. I got 3 more years worth of money. And by the end of that, I plan on getting paid. So okay. We do have the money to do what we need to do. So it's that sort of situation where before I was oftentimes, the first 5 months, I was pumping $2,500 a month worth of personal money back into the bank account to keep this place up and going. But I only had 12 barrels worth of fermentation space at any given time. And trying to rush beers and putting out a substandard product was really harmful to the brand, even if only, you know, 20 people drank it. That was 20 people that may not have been interested ever again.
Word of mouth is huge.
You know? And it is, right? I mean, if you're upset about something, you tell every fucking buddy you know.
Right.
If you plan on telling somebody how cool something was, you usually forget until you forget completely, right? Like, oh, I was going to tell Tyler about that. What was it again? Oh, it must not have been that cool.
Do something wrong and they engrave it in stone. Do something right and they write it in sand.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's how it is. So we couldn't do that. And that's where the folks at Bravery really helped us out by allowing us to take some of their equipment that they were selling. They gave us credit on it. You know, every time I had a cash deposit, I'd pull $500 out of it every week, go run it over to Bart at Bravery and be like, here's 500, here's 500. You know, we bought $26,000 worth of stuff off of them.
Wow.
It took me a year to get him paid at 500 a week, maybe sometimes 1,000 every other week, you know, like an hour a week and feed it to them.
That was really cool of them, though.
They've been super good to us, especially in that regard. Excuse me. That allowed us to make more product, which we started selling kegs. Once we saw the profit off of kegs, that's when we hired Tyler, which kind of negated the profits from the kegs to have a van and insurance and an employee. But it was also building up the tap room. More people were showing up here because more beer was out and about to get people to know that our beer existed. And then when we went into packaging, that was a whole different animal. Like once we started packaging and getting that beer out there, it was like, okay, well, let's get a bigger fermenter. Okay, well, let's buy some cans. You know, cans are like $1,600 a pallet. And you have to buy them like 2 months before you even brew the beer. Wow. You know, so it's like, okay, now we're investing thousands, $6,000.
Does that come with the labels already on them? Or
yeah,
those,
yeah, we do that. We have the ability to do it the other way where we label, but our current canning situation, he goes, let's put it this way, not yet. Don't do it.
Not yet.
Okay.
Now's so, not the time. Just so get your cans pre-printed.
You order the cans from a can place, and then they put the labels on for you?
Yeah, they shrink wrap them.
Okay.
And then, like with the bottles, like you said, oh, you have the back room now. I mean, there's 40,000 bottles. There's 52 pallets of bottles in that back room.
Is that new? That's your expansion.
Yeah, that's the expansion back there. We got another 2,000 square feet back there, and it's just full of bottles and cans.
So that brings me to the next question, the expansion. Are you just going to stay here and just blow that back wall out and go that way?
No.
Or are you still planning on maybe going to another location?
You know, you got to manage your expectations in life and be realistic. And I've said this before, but I've successfully avoided employment my entire life, right? So knowing how businesses kind of work, I can't expect any more out of this tap room. Like, I know what our peak is. I know what our valley is. And it's fine. It's good. It works. But expansion inside of this facility to house more humans to drink, it's not necessary. What we need to do is move out of town with another tap room, satellite tap room, and start moving south.
Gotcha.
Where our biggest fans and draws really are.
Still stay here as a brew house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can still brew here. You know what? Moving that stuff is a nightmare. What I imagine is, and the expense of moving equipment that's duct taped and bubble gummed in here anyways, really doesn't make any sense. Mike's got us a line in on maybe some bigger kettles, so that way we don't have to do five batches for big tank, only three.
Well, my question really was, can you put more brewing equipment in the back room?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. It's full. It's already full. It was like the day that we went in there, like Buns rode her bicycle around in there, and like I was running back and forth yelling at my Echo. And like 3 days later, we had 2,000 square feet of shit.
You couldn't even
run a pallet jack through there.
Hey, Katie.
Hot wife just showed up.
Yeah,
the boss just showed up.
Yeah,
happy you're welcome.
What's that?
With a smoothie.
Yep.
Sweet. Lots of blackberries. You know, they help you stay virile.
That's what they
do. Good for cardiovascular health. And, you know, the smallest veins are in your penis.
No, mine's super small veins.
Even yours.
thinning out there, huh?
I didn't have hair right now.
Well, it was No Shave November, and I didn't want to shave it until you saw it. So I'll take it down this weekend.
I just wanted to make sure. Make sure Katie got a glimpse.
Yeah, so I'm rocking a beard right now, and like everybody's coming in going, oh, you're the new brewer? So.
Well, we have beard products showing up later to fix what's happening there.
Fix what's happening. Yeah, we'll repair it.
Yeah. I mean, look at Tyler.
That's a beard.
That's a beard.
Yeah. And then look at Frank.
That's a beard.
Respectable.
Sean's all right. He's And then there's Kenny.
There's Kenny.
Yeah. The other Kenny.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's kind of gray. So Sean's got
kind of
gray.
Yeah, kind
it's,
of.
It's gray. It's gray. Yeah. I think I got some gray in there.
The joke was, we always joke, if two guys have a beard, they're made out of a Sonic Velcro.
So it was, oh, God. So
the joke is, if Frank and Tyler made out, his beard would just grab Frank's and eat it.
I was like, I wouldn't have a beard anymore.
Somebody would have to cut them apart. Yeah. Bring the scissors over here.
Like, oh, not again.
Got to start growing a beard again. Ran into Tyler.
Oh, man. And we're there.
Cool. There it is.
There it is.
So let me ask, now that Mike's here, are you going to allow him to start maybe putting a little spin of his own flavor on some of these things? Are you going to come
up? Or do his own recipes?
So maybe not tweak your existing lineup, but maybe come up with another one that's going to be, because he made these, right? I mean, is this 100% your recipe?
It's my recipe. The short answer is absolutely, of course. That would be...
First of all, there's never a short answer when I ask you a question.
No. I just gave you one.
That's the preface. Short answer.
Yes.
You're getting a running start is what you were doing.
And buckle your safety belts.
Here we go.
All right. So
the real answer is.
No, that is still the real answer. But to elaborate, since we need to fill at least 4 hours of podcast.
At least. And that's a minimum.
So, I mean, before before Troy starts beatboxing and Frank puts on his sombrero. Let's get all the important stuff out of the way. We're about to hit beer apocalypse today, right? And Katie and I were talking the other morning when we were getting ready, and it's like, I can't believe we're 420-something batches in commercially, hundreds and hundreds, nearly 1,000 batches at home. And the thirst for experimentation never leaves me. Like, as we've talked about, the twist on a recipe, it's like, if we're putting in, 2,500 milliliters of yeast A, it's like, I could take that same beer and pull 500 milliliters out and put yeast B in there, and I'll have a different beer. Yeah. I don't even have to change the recipe.
Right.
You know, and this thirst for like twisting and turning what we have and creating something new is really, really super strong with us. But we realize that you probably is torture to have your own ideas and you know, want to create your own stuff and not having that opportunity. So as soon as beer apocalypse is over, I have one absolutely necessary experiment that we have to do. I'm actually even bumping a house beer to do this experiment because it might shift the way that we do all of our packaged hazy beers moving forward, at least temporarily, just like the last shift and the last shift and the last shift. So we might have a new shift going on with our hazy beers. I have to do a test batch of this first. And then we've got to recover from beer apocalypse. We're going to be blown out of most house beers.
What does a test batch mean? How big is that?
We usually do 3-barrel on that. I mean, everything's a test batch here. I mean, when you've brewed 420 something batches and like 230 of them are new beers, that means everything's a test batch.
Sure.
We don't brew anything in a small batch before we can it or bottle it. When you buy a can or a bottle, that is the beer that I saw going into that bottle or can. Like, that's it. Like, that's, we, recipe is here, it gets brewed, it hits the bottle, and it's like, that day, we know what we got. Somebody show me a bottle. Yep, that's what I wanted. Perfect, let's go. What's next? So that's the way that gets done here. But this, because it's more of a yeast experimentation, I've said too much. We really do need to test batch that before we turn around and just slam that in a package. I could fuck around with hops and grains all day, like the back of my hand, but
so yeast. I know you got me. I might get shut down for the first time. I always ask Tyson what's can't be on the table, but so are you experimenting with different yeast you've never tried before? Are you making your own blend?
Just a blend that I've never tried under these circumstances. As a matter of fact, a blend I've never tried at all. I've actually blended the yeast I'm thinking of with different yeasts, with great results on a different style of beer. This particular style, I've never gone there. And I'm going there.
I have another dumb question. So
there's no dumb questions, only dumb people.
I'm a dumb person. I'm a dumb person getting ready to ask a question. So when you pitch your yeast, they are eating the sugars for food source.
Yeah.
If you put in two different, like, Crips and Bloods yeast, will they do like a gladiator thing and fight each other for the food source, or will they
gangster now that's gladiators?
That's actually a super intelligent question, to be honest.
Yeah, nailed it.
The wording is suspect, but I mean, some yeast are faster to get moving and way more aggressive and way more attenuative, and yes, they might take the lion's share. But what the end result is, that's less important to me as to what you're tasting when you drink the beer. I don't really care who wins the cage match inside of the fermenter. What I care is what is the flavor that the byproduct. So when I'm sitting here eating a vegan burger with a fork and knife, and you're eating a cow burger slathered in barbecue sauce, and you start farting and I start farting, our byproducts are definitely going to be different from each other. So the flavors that are thrown off by these yeast eating their food and shitting it out into our beer, I want to just make sure that profile is nice.
So whose farts are going to smell better?
Yeah, whose farts are going to smell better? That's it.
Yours are cannabis.
Yeah. I eat pineapple.
I think that's a different wives' tale. Yeah.
What does pineapple do to you?
Something else.
Oh, wait.
Hey.
There it is.
Hey.
Let's bring them all out. He's like, honey, you're getting a pearl necklace for Christmas.
So back to the talking about, you're going to do recipe development still. Are you going to brew it all, or is that all on Mike now?
I hope not. To be honest, because I got a lot of shit coming down the pipe. I mean, what were, excuse me, smoothie fucking like blackberry
all the blackberries,
shit
yeah.
in my throat here.
I thought you were all choked up.
No more brewing. I'll never brew again.
As soon as I said I eat pineapple, you got all teary eyes.
I was like, I can only imagine that flavor.
It's very acidic. No.
The thought process is if we upgrade these kettles, which we really want to do and likely will do, it's just the timeline of doing it, and then get another location, I will likely take these kettles. I'm not going to take them out back and burn them or anything. I will probably take them to the new location and
serve from them.
Yeah, maybe even take just one fermenter over there, one of the three barrels that's
do
across
some little
the room.
Experimental small stuff.
And go over there and brew some stuff. And then maybe bring in another 15 barrel for Mike and let him start smashing some more volume out of here.
No, that's actually nice. Really cool because when I was down in San Diego, I know like Carl Strauss and Garage Brewing mm-hmm. both do the same thing. They have a main location with their big brewhouse, and then they got the tap room.
Yeah.
With a mini brewing system there. And it's
yeah, mini
cool.
to them, 15 barrel.
Yeah. yeah. But what was cool was when I was at the Carl Strauss, the actual bartender guy I was serving, and he's like, try this. Is what I actually made this myself
I
here.
Was just going to say that.
Yeah, it was so cool. So, Mike.
What if it's the same guy? Were you in DTLA? The one right next to McKellar? Very near McKellar?
No. I was in the Temecula.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. We were in the downtown LA location, and we were talking to one of the bartenders there, and he was just like, man, I can't wait. You know, I've been homebrewing for years. Next week, I get to brew my batch on that system nice. Right back there. He goes, it's so cool. They let us do this.
That's awesome.
That
That's
pretty
awesome.
Cool.
So, Mike, let me ask you this. The question I always like asking the brewers, out of the lineup that's here on the board, which is your favorite and which is the one because I like asking Tyson, is this a beer that he particularly doesn't care for, but it sells. So he's like, I keep brewing it for the people, although it's not necessarily my taste, my palate. What is the beers here you love and which is the ones that,
Well, the one that I've been drinking the most of have been the All Haze on Me. I'm really a big hazy.
That's a great beer. Like
the
IPA fan. I'm trying to hurry and finish this one so I can get that.
Yeah. I've been drinking that and the Cherry Goza. That
oh, yeah?
Oh, my God, that's my favorite one.
We got to do that soon.
I love that one.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
I actually dreamt about it last night.
That,
whoa.
the other one was with the styles they don't care for that sell well. I mean,
not necessarily here.
Blonde, yeah. I mean, Hefeweizen.
That's kind of how it always is, though.
Right.
But,
I
mean, but you got to have those, right? I mean, those are a staple on any menu.
I usually put brown on that list, too. However...
sorry, Frank.
I was gonna say,
God. Oh, God. But we're both
here. I heard that.
So where's Black Run? Where's Black Run?
I gotta tell you, Tyson. So the other day, I'm driving home from the oil fields, right? It's an hour drive. I'm this long, lonely ass road heading into Button Willow. And here comes this white truck, which Frank has, and this little Mexican with a nice beard, which Frank has, blows right past me. And I'm, oh, shit.
So I pull
over and text. Hey, Frank, are you just now leaving Button Willow driving the white truck? And I wait. All of a sudden, you see the little squiggly thing, like he's typing. All of a sudden, it pops up. Hey, you fucking racist. We don't all look alike.
But yes, that was me.
And it was me. It is a lovely beard, by the way.
Well, thank you very much.
I was picking up taquitos.
I heard they had the best tacos out there, and it was nice.
He's like, I'm all pissed off because my sombrero blew out the window.
It is my favorite sombrero.
But fortunately, I carry a spare.
So, Mike, can you talk about other breweries you've been to and different styles? And I mean, I don't, like you said, maybe mentioning names is not cool, but out of how many? Oh, let me ask you this: how many different breweries have you worked at?
This is my third one now.
Okay,
can we not talk about background? That's what I was going to ask that next. Is that
that's up to him. I don't give a shit. He can talk all the shit he wants.
I'm an open book.
So where have you brewed before, right?
Yeah.
The previous one was Full Circle in downtown Fresno, and then where I started was Riley's out in Madera.
Cool.
Nice. Oh, Riley's. They make the hard sodas and stuff, too, right?
Yeah, they make hard sodas, and now they're doing whiskey and vodka. And,
really?
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. That's cool. Yeah.
So I'm a huge fan of Full Circle. I love their beer.
They've got some good stuff, some good hazy stuff.
Too. I love their stuff. Is there a different technique Tyson uses than you guys did over there?
Yeah, there's a lot of differences actually in techniques and everything. I'm real we're both anal in different ways, like very particular about what we're
doing. Yeah, say particular.
Don't use like anal on this podcast.
That's just a trap when you say anal on this podcast.
Like I like having those spreadsheets and you know, beersmith programs, looking at my water chemistry, everything.
Thanks, Tyson.
That here Tyson's just doing, he just writes it down and here's the recipe because he's been doing them so many times in this system. It's definitely going to be a bit different.
Sorry to interrupt. Approaches. Hey, Frank, pop that bottle I gave you out.
Oh, yeah, Tim.
Oh, shit. Thank you. Thank you, because he was going to try to pull that shit. He pulled it.
He's like, wait, you going to take it home?
Take it home. I don't know what you're talking about.
What bottle?
Motherfucker. So at the last beer festival, Tyler's like, hey, man, nobody had had the I'm done saying, done playing yet.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, done playing. So Tyler's like, hey, man, I brought a can for Frank. He needs to split it with you. And Frank's like, oh, man, what the fuck did you say anything, man? What the fuck? Well, then I forgot about it. And then I see a picture of him on freaking Instagram with that beer. I'm like, oh, you little motherfucker, you're supposed to share that. So that's what he did. So he gets this bottle from Tyler, and the first thing he does is stash it away so nobody sees it.
Yeah. I was getting it cold.
He's no dummy.
So yeah, we're working at the full circle. I'd gone there as a brewer when they basically changed hands at ownership. The old owner, brewer, they weren't going to do it anymore.
We got to drink that without Tyson. He doesn't drink milk.
Oh. So yeah.
It's not a vegan beer.
From when they changed ownership, I've been the brewer there, so it'd been about a year or so, maybe a little or like 14.
So were you developing recipes as well?
I was doing everything, absolutely everything in there. The other people that owned it had no idea about anything about beer. They just thought it'd be a cool thing to own a brewery. And
wow, crazy.
So they hired somebody who knew how to make the beer, and so that's where I left Riley's doing a 40-barrel or 20-barrel into 40-barrel fermenter production beer, just same thing over and over and over. Got to do a little bit of experimentation, but not nearly as much as you can do in a situation like this or full right. circle. So I went to the full circle and did, like I said, literally everything from scratch. Got rid of all the old equipment that I knew was causing their contamination issues and inconsistency issues, and with my help, completely turned that brand around. And all those beers that you guys are having, those hazies, those were all mine. Those were my pride and joy.
That's awesome. Cool. Nice. Very awesome. Cool.
So leaving was amicable? Everything's cool? Or?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Right. They hired somebody else, and they got rid of me. And so
okay.
So now I'm here.
Wow. Okay. So you did not leave them to come here. It was just timing. Everything just worked out perfect.
Yeah. They decided they didn't want me to be there anymore, and I already had Tyson on Facebook Messenger because I had seen him on the Facebook groups and
talking shit.
Yeah,
of course.
It was talking shit to people who were talking shit, and I'm kind of that way too. Like, I'm not one of those just sit down and shut up kind of guys. Like, you're going to talk shit to me, I'm going to talk it back to you. So kind of appreciated that anyways, and I had some of his beers just from bottle shares and stuff down there and saw that he was killing it with the hazy beers, and I was like, well, it seems like we'd be pretty similar interests, so hit him up, and hey, you happen to be looking for a brewer? And he's like, actually, I do happen to be looking for a brewer. So came up here a few times and felt like I'd be a good fit here, and so making the jump or selling the house in Fresno, and gonna be trying to move here as soon as we can.
Well, we're glad to have you here in Kern County.
That's right.
Good addition. Yeah. It sounds like
good. Welcome to the team,
Kern.
And it's actually really funny that I bought my original homebrew system from Tehachapi here.
Oh,
just
oh,
found
is that
it
right?
On Craigslist, yeah, like 6-7 years ago, and just came all the way down here, took it back home, started brewing on it, and that's what got me started on this whole crazy ride.
That's cool.
So it all came full circle.
On that note, thanks for listening.
And podcast over.
Yeah, that's it.
Mic dropped.
Hey, can we talk about the lineup? That's on the
Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, hey, Sean, what's up?
He's not Kevin.
Because I think this is the most beers I've seen.
That's a full lineup
on the wall at one time. Last time we were here, you were about out of half the things were up there.
I have had 26 has been our peak. We're just shy of that. But what you're seeing is some packaged product up there too. So okay. We've got the Done Saying, Done Playing, New England style double IPA in a can. We got the Snobs IPA on draft and in a bomber. The Blonde. We have a few bottles of the Meh New England IPA in a bottle. Nitro Coffee Stout, the CO2 Imperial Coffee Stout, and the 40s, the new 30, my birthday beer made with Nelson in a bottle. Sorry, I'm doing that walk away from the mic thing. Riddy Red, who is actually sitting right there. That's Riddy K, the rapper from Bakersfield, who kind of commissioned me to do a beer in his likeness. And he wanted it to be a red ale. And I said, you know what? But he also likes hazies. And I went, you know what? I'm going to do a double red hazy IPA. And I don't know why the fuck Tyler's popping bottles at this podcast. It's supposed to be about this place. But I was going to pour that for everybody next.
Celebration beer.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm going to celebrate after.
Yeah. Hey, Tyson, any chance that those bottles you just named off coming on tap?
No.
No, I'm already bored of those.
Okay.
I have new ideas.
Nice.
When will the tap room open in Bakersfield?
Next Never.
31st of February?
Damn it. Damn it. We just got screwed.
He said south earlier. He didn't say
I know. Yeah. I know I did. I know. And I was going to mention something then. But yeah.
There's a few areas that don't drink with their palate. And I can't go to those areas. I have to go.
Ooh,
I
that's,
to,
that's a dig.
Well, it is. Because, I mean, in our group, obviously. Right.
Right. But there's.
But
I understand
so
what you're saying.
So what you're saying is, I mean, market-wise...
There's a shitload of people that just, like, talk shit for no reason, and I have no idea why, and it's like, whatever.
In Bakersfield? About OCB?
Yeah, and in Fresno area, too, and it's like...
Not to me. I'll fuck them up.
I was like, yeah, if that's how you guys feel, then...
Get him, Kenny.
Yeah. Right back with the Crips.
Keep drinking your fucking corporate tap list, and I'll head where people enjoy us.
You talk shit about OCB in my face, I'm going to act like you and I are different yeast brands.
Yeah.
I'm going to pitch your ass.
Fart off.
I'll just tell you this, LA market is loving us.
Oh, yeah. That's I mean, we get likened to Monkish so much. It's just really funny That's when awesome. Somebody goes, their hazy beers are fucking shit. And it's like they're doing some like fake ass attempt at a hazy beer. And it's like, oh, really? Fake ass attempt? That's why we sell 10,000 fucking units a month in LA and they just gobble them up overnight. People line up at liquor stores. You know, if anybody talks shit on Untappd or anything like that, people will come to my defense and be like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what do you like? You know, and I don't know. It's just, and, you know, I don't know. It's just, we're appreciated. The further, when we skip the immediate north and we skip the immediate south, it's almost like we're just, too local or something. Like it just seems like Antelope Valley, Bakersfield, and Fresno have less than attitudes about us. But you go up to Sacramento, San Jose, Los Angeles, San Diego, and they're just dying for
Tyler,
us.
Tyler, doesn't everything you put into Bakersfield sell out fast?
It does, but it also negatively affects the brand because you see check-ins that are lower just because someone has a negative opinion about someone. Instead of just tasting the beer, I can take that same beer to LA, Sacramento, San Jose, and now we're working into San Diego and Vegas. I can take those same beers and get almost a full point higher on the ratings. Yeah. So why would I continue to dump beers in areas, drop off, because I've got a lot of great accounts in those areas. Don't get me wrong. I love Bakersfield. I love Fresno. But at the same time,
it sucks because
there's a group of bad apples that are screwing.
Right, they're fucking us, right? A couple of idiots are fucking us because
they're not. Because I'm still dropping off the beer. I'm just not as heavily influenced in those areas as I used to be.
You're not dropping enough at my house.
I'll tell you this though: the Bay Area, Sacramento, San Francisco, San Diego is now getting on the map as well. But with those four areas, I don't even have enough beer to supply those. So I've worked really hard with Tyson. We've worked really well together for 2 years of, you know, usually when you get two guys this close to each other, they want to kill each other. You know, we worked really hard and really well together to get this brand built up. I mean, dude, when he took it over, it was a 3.5 or a 3.3 or something
3.1
on Untappd. We're at 3.97 right now. We're only going up. Mm-hmm. We've got some big things coming in the next year that I'm really excited about. I literally will not have to put a beer next to a Budweiser product in the next 6 months, probably.
I would literally cut off every store. Emailed me and asked me what was going on here. How did we go from a 3.3 to a 3.97 fast?
And you told him, thanks to people like IPA Today, that's, you know.
they suggested that we squash our account and start over because the way that things are going now, that we'd be in the top 50 list. With our current ratings.
No kidding.
I mean, we're talking like 4.27 overall rating. And, but at the same time, we're so heavily distributed and put out there. I would hate for somebody to see that with 1,000 check-ins versus 10,000.
Right.
You know, I mean,
which we're approaching rapidly.
And I just figured, hey, look, by the time we're at 100,000, those first 1,500 or whatever that had us so screwed over will be such a micro percentage of what's really going on. It'll be pretty damn close to our true rating at some point.
It'll balance itself out.
Yeah, it'll balance itself out. I mean, come on. When it becomes 1% of what we did or you know, of what the account represents, then, you know, it's no longer an issue. So we're just fighting. And it's fun to watch it go up. See, most breweries have to watch it go down. It's not normal because that's just, you know, the nature of things.
Come like, out the beast.
You start strong and, you know, then as you get more normal and average ratings. Or no, it's more like more people start checking in your blonde. It's like, you know, you open up and you have all these cool specialty beers and stuff like that. And, you know, people are like, oh, this is fucking great. And they're rating you all high. And then you have to start making blondes and hefs. And even if it's the best hef you've ever drank, people are still like 3.5, don't like hefs.
Yeah,
like, you know, like, this
why'd you order it?
It's just the nature. No,
but that's
of the
that's
beast.
Shitty. You don't rate it on if you like
on what you like. You rate it on how the beer fits in the category. Craig Zubers would talk to you about that all day long.
That's right. I'm not a huge fan of Hefs anymore either. I mean, that was the rage in the day. But like I posted on Instagram that time when yours was at Flame Burger, I'm like, I'm gonna get it just because it's LCB, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's LCB's on tap, I'm getting it, whether it's a fucking Hef or not. And I got it. And I was like, God damn, I forgot how fucking good these are, man. This is a good beer.
Right. You know, it was probably just how good mine was.
Well, it is. It was. It was great. And you know what's so funny was, so I got this thing. Anytime I get an LCB on tap at a restaurant, I have the waitress hold it. I take a picture and post it. And I get to work, and this chick's going, hey, that podcast thing you got with that Instagram picture stuff? I go, yeah. She goes, that was my cousin. I go, that's a small world, man. I said, but that's the whole LCB thing. So yeah, man, it's I love when I see your shit on tap at a restaurant, man. And like I said, I'll order it just because it's LCB, whether it's my flavor or not.
Well, it's interesting being a beer world celebrity and like having people just like
I was just gonna say,
you on the shoulder, and you know, you're like, hey, hi.
After all those cans and stuff too, I mean, I'm getting guys like hitting me up on Instagram, like, hey, let's trade some LCB for something, right? And
then okay, I got those.
And I'm gonna trade it, so.
For trade, Golden Road.
It's really weird whenever you're somewhere like at a beer festival and someone walks up and they act like they're your best friend. You've never met them before. And it's like, oh, you called me Bearded Hophead, not Tyler.
Hey, that's how buddy.
Katie hates that. When she was local craft beer chick, it happened a hell of a lot more. People would be like, excuse me, local craft beer chick. And she'd be like, fuck. No.
Gotta change that name. Now she's vegan hop head.
Yeah, she is a vegan hop queen.
Hey, yeah, some of that stuff she's been making for us to eat, man. Hey, shout out to the boss for keeping us healthy.
Yeah, for real. That was a really nice change. I mean, she was 95% of a vegan anyways for the longest time. I mean, maybe, you know, sushi would slip itself in there. She never had any kind of meat at all on anything at all, but it was kind of the dairy and egg thing that, she didn't realize or we didn't realize was also just as bad as the other stuff we were putting in our body. So, once she kind of, you know, flipped that around for us, I was like, well, at this point I may as well go all in. Like, yeah, I eat a turkey burger every once in a while and I have that sushi too. But other than that, you know, I'm pretty much a vegetarian at this point, or a pescatarian, as they would call it, like just fish and veg. And then when she's
so,
like,
so what do you do to ensure that your beers are vegan quality?
I don't put any animal carcass in them.
No, but isn't there,
you know what,
no
eggs. What I like about local craft beer.
No eggs, no dairy.
But isn't there, there's something in, I can't remember what it was, but there's certain
gelatin.
Beers.
It's gelatin.
The yeah, and they say,
oh, yeah, no,
they say this is vegan quality beer. I mean, and so, I don't know. I'm just asking the question. I'm not a vegan, and I'm not
Tyson
a brewer.
Tyson wouldn't
so,
use that gelatin stuff if you put a gun to his head.
Yeah, if you don't use gelatin, how do you make your hazy beers clear?
through good process.
Is that centrifuge back there?
Right? It's,
that gigantic one.
Yeah. Spinning around and around.
Just spin the kegs
Tyler
around
with bottles in his hand.
Yeah, basically we make Tyler spin around on with a fermenter.
That's how I keep this sexy figure.
I mean, as you guys know, we don't put anything in the beer. I don't fuck with the water chemistry. I don't put anything in the whirlpool. I don't do any of that stuff.
I don't edit.
No anti-foaming agent. Yeah, it's the same way this podcast is run.
Balls out.
We just take notes. When it's all done, we listen to it, and we realize what we did.
So basically a vegan podcast.
So a question about that. You said no water chemistry. Do you anticipate if you were to open up a tap room in some other place and you said maybe experiment a little bit, you're going to get a different water, right?
Yeah.
So that's something you're going to
What's that going to do? Yeah.
Get a feel for
it. It's something that I'll look at. Well, we filter, of course, but I basically had my water analyzed by the guy that did all the water analytics for Bravery, Brooklyn Brewing in New York. Mm-hmm. I forgot what the place is called, but basically you send him a sample of your water and then he pulls your local water report and kind of builds you a filtration system that pulls out the VOCs, but not the minerality. And so basically our pH is just awesome here for brewing. The minerality is great. Everything's good. So I don't know, man, it drives me crazy. And everybody can argue their own opinion, but this is my sole and only opinion. When I'm brewing at another brewery and they are dipping a bunch of shit in their water and they got all these bags of crystals and powders and shit like that. And they're like, oh, we need 2 cups of this. It just, it hurts me inside. Like, I don't even want to drink your beer now. I don't want that shit in my beer.
All, like, alterated.
You know, we started with water and now we're going to make beer, you know?
Is this familiar, Frank? Frank, that somebody said like gypsum or something like that?
Well, it's just all going to be like different salts just to get your profile up to where...
Neutral?
Well, no, just to, like, I guess every beer has its own, like, profile that'll enhance its flavor a little bit better, but you'd have to mess with it to get it there.
So they
If it actually does anything, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's a so they say situation.
So until you have a scientist come out and say this is fact, it's probably not going to get done.
Bro science?
I mean, this is some guy that thinks that this adding this to his water makes it feel better on his palate.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, though.
It's going to be
suggestive, in my opinion.
Can you be in a location that has shitty water, though, that will
affect
the taste of beer?
Yeah. You could be in a place where, I mean, like, you just don't want... You ever see Aaron Brockovich? Like, you don't want to brew with that water.
You don't want arsenic in your water.
Yeah, like, I don't want my water
to
catch on fire
actually, bro.
When it pulls out of the faucet. You know? That's a very interesting question and something that I have thought about a lot. It's like, what am I going to do if I don't like the water where I'm at? I don't know.
Because, I mean, it may create these beers not repeatable somewhere else, right, to get the exact same
flavor. And I don't
know
that I would repeat what's
here. But if you're
here,
just experimenting.
Actually, let's be clear. I wouldn't repeat what's being done
here. So you're going to be
experimenting.
That's
going to be a whole new...
Yeah, that's going to definitely be the sandbox over there where it's like we're shipping the beer from here to location 2. And if there's a very, very small pilot footprint there with the 3-barrel system and a 3-barrel fermenter or two, it's like, that's going to be pure for fun what happens right there. And that beer won't go here.
There won't be bottles of it, cans of it. It'll be on tap.
Even if you did mess with the chemistry, I don't know that that many people would ever even notice that are going to drink the beers,
right? Let me ask you then, if you go somewhere to another location and the water lab results, or the profile of that water is slightly different than the Tehachapi water, can a filtration system fix that without having to have to dump shit in your water, chemical wise? I mean, maybe just a filter.
Well, it depends on most filters are going to be like if they're carbon based, they're just going to be there to take out things like chlorine and then any kind of bacteria.
Okay,
you're gonna have to go to like a full DI system to get a blank slate to then add in chemicals to.
So you strip everything out.
That's a dick introduction system. In case you didn't know
what
that was.
DI.
Is that what that stands for?
It does now.
But I mean, like, again, like it's like me like pulling out like different bottles of water
to the dick jokes.
and not letting you know what the water is, and you telling me the difference between Arrowhead and.
I'll tell you the difference between Arrowhead and Dasani. Arrowhead tastes like butt water.
I agree.
I picked the wrong one to start with. Like, right?
If you brewed with Arrowhead water, I would definitely know. I would be like, I don't want that beer.
Yeah, dude. I fucking hate that shit. It is so disgusting. It tastes like the water's been run down my butt crack before it goes in the glass.
Nothing's worse. Good old butt salt.
Nothing worse than when you're at a function. And you're like, I need a water, and they sell them for $4, and it's Arrowhead.
It's Arrowhead.
Like, motherfucker.
Damn it.
I always thought it was just me. But
Is there a pond or a gutter I can lick from instead?
So, Mike, where do you stand on water chemistry as far as the base profile of?
I'm definitely a believer in it. I mean, just like we're talking about the different waters, they taste different. It's because of the stuff that's in there or not. So that's where, like I said, that we have a difference in process. Of how we do things.
So do you? Is there a difference in Fresno water versus Tehachapi water?
I don't know because I haven't tested Tehachapi water. That's the thing.
Yes.
When I would do a, I'm sure there
is. Sure, there is. Yeah.
There's at least 12 parts per million of cow farts in the Fresno water. I'm sure.
Yeah. Depending on if they ate pineapples or
just
not.
12.
When I would do
what
the water,
test was used for that?
The smell test.
The chemist asked.
The four-part test.
So in Fresno, did you guys use a filtration system?
Yeah, we had just the filtration system that pulls out, like it says, the VOCs, you know, chlorine and stuff like that. And then I would go from there. I would test the water before every batch because being a Fresno municipal water, they pull from different wells at different times of the day.
Gotcha.
And I would keep a spreadsheet of my results on them. I mean, I would see the hardness, the alkalinity go all over the place.
So if you ran a test on your water and you saw it was different than yesterday, what, would that adjust your recipe on the beer, or would you do something to the water first?
It usually would be a matter of the hardness going up or down. So if the hardness is higher, then I use some acid to neutralize it and get it back to where I know it's supposed to be, basically.
Gotcha.
It's really all I would add is gypsum and calcium chloride, and then some phosphoric acid to adjust the pH.
Frank's look at Frank's, man. His eyes are all over.
Where Tyson just leaves it hard.
Yeah, like I said, there's different ways.
Well, it's that shake your drink, those blueberries.
No choice.
I mean, invigorating.
I understand the situation, and there's some places where the water is so bad where they have to literally, you know, bring that water back to nothing, liquid, and then build it back up. But to me, when I hear, like, you know, all these words of things that you have to, I hear like sodium bicarbonate and, you know, like,
It might be. It sounds
efficient. I just don't like putting stuff in the beer because clearly we can make a high quality beer right here in this situation without that added step. Or without that added stuff. And, you know, it's kind of like eating plants, brother.
Yeah, I'm
glad you said plants.
You're not.
I think you're not.
He's all, plants.
Boo.
He doesn't know what I like to eat at all.
tastes like kale.
You guys need some beers? I can't believe Tyler poured you guys a different beer. Yeah. So I want to make it crystal clear, listeners.
Let's talk about this. Let's hit the pause button and do a refresh on the glasses and come back.
What are you looking at me?
Pause button.
Put the pause.
You don't pause or edit.
I don't edit, but I will pause.
He pauses so he doesn't have to edit. That's right.
That's his edit.
It's a live edit. It's an active edit.
The edit button.
All right. Well, because you're not a fan of me splitting the podcast into two parts. You're like, I just want to listen to the full 8 hours.
All at once. Six and a half of which I was talking. Yes, please.
I want to hear myself.
Oh, you're going to love this one.
Yeah. Nothing's better than hearing myself talk out of the car radio door there.
And as soon as it ends, play again. Yeah.
I just keep IPA Today LCBs on repeat.
You should play it on your speaker system
at all times. Yeah, I should just have it going. Yeah. Nobody would show up anymore. They're like, we'd have to change the name to Dick Joke Brewery.
Dad, like a dick snob, please.
Yeah. Whoa.
Hey, can I get that hard red? that drippy stout.
Oh, but dude, if all your beers were dick based, that would be so funny. All the names.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I tried to. They did it
for plausible deniability.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah, just like
the
tiny
mushroom
hands
porter is made with mushrooms.
Yeah. We got the Heffen boner.
The mushroom stamp brown. I sent in there was a little contest at this place called Mohawk Bend down in Echo Park. They have an awesome craft beer list, 72 craft beers. We couldn't even keep up with it. Great vegan menu and all that stuff. And it's an old movie theater. So they left the marquee out front and they put different messages on the marquees. And so for Valentine's Day, they said, send us in what you want to say to your lover. And so I sent in a submission. And they
it's
didn't
a dear
win.
Kenny.
But
it said dear Kenny.
It said dear Kenny. Take it.
I'm like, oh, you're so sweet.
It was beer related, so I thought it would work. And it was to Katie. You are the nitro to my milk stout.
Whoa.
It didn't win. I thought it had a lot of qualities to it. That
I loved it.
Double entendre's there.
I felt the love.
I felt the tingle. It jumped a little bit.
Yeah. Am I blushing?
I'm sitting next to
I'm a little dirty. I don't know what.
But Frank is, for those of you who can't see this, he's currently rubbing his left nipple.
That's everybody. That's everybody.
That's not new.
Can someone bring me a towel,
please? That's not just Frank. He's the only one I could see.
The only time he goes to the right nipple is when Joey's here.
Where is Joey?
He's working. He works.
Joey.
Yes, he works way too much.
Yeah, this IPA Today thing doesn't pay enough.
Yeah, it doesn't pay enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool. Then let's do take a pause to waste some time.
Sounds good.
I'll get you guys some beers. I got to get these guys smashed before he hits the pause button. Yeah. Come back to shit show today.
Yeah, that's right.
okay, contrary to what Tyson likes, I'm going to go ahead and dump this into a part one. And when he comes back, we'll start with a part two, and he won't even know the difference. So, sorry, Tyson.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe and rate the podcast on iTunes and Google Play, Twitter @I'mNotKevinPod.